always want to practice we do such bills so that you get other members from other legislatures. Welcome all other honorable members from other legislatures. Some are also still coming. The attendance is on its own also shows the interest on this bill. Not only the interest, but the importance of this bill. This is the first briefing that we're having, and by nature of it, I'll ask firstly the legal section to brief us, then I'll ask an official from the department to say whatever he wants to say. This bill still has got to go to our provinces, so it's going to be a process. So for us today is to understand what is happening, and we'll engage with the legal people and then take it from there. You know, I presumed that everybody knows that I'm Tumsani Kamete, chair of this committee. But the back of my mind tells me that I need to say so. So, you know, I'll ask honorable members from my right, everybody to introduce him or herself. Then after that, I'll give it to Gary from the legal section to preface.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bafunane Mgune from the Free State.
Good morning. My name is Mokone Maina. I'm from the Northwest.
Martins, disturbing the member, he can't introduce himself.
My apologies, Chair. My name is Sithibe Mgcina, Chairperson, Economic Development, Gauteng Province.
Good morning, my name is Beth Abrams, Gauteng.
Good morning, I'm Elza van Lingen from the Eastern Cape.
Morning, Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Morning, Shani Pondombe, KZN.
Morning, my name is Roj Schneider from the Department of Trade and Industry.
Morning, Simpo Nwana from Trade and Industry.
Morning, Kaska Mkitlane from the Free State Legislature.
Morning, Paula Pagat, Chairperson. Economic Development, Eastern Cape.
Good morning, I'm Abdullah Khanif, the Committee Researcher.
Good morning, my name is Gary Oden, I'm the Legal Advisor.
Good morning, members. My name is Gary Roder and I'm the legal advisor to the committee.
My name is Julie Banzi Maslela, content advisor for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Rubek Abdullah and I'm the committee secretary.
We don't mind. Just from the back, just introduce yourself. There are familiar faces that we know. We'll be with them until very late.
Thank you.
you. Thank you. Before giving it, there's one member.
Morning, Freddie Adams, Western Cape.
Thanks. We'll give it to Kerry, but let us all remember that there was an issue about the taking of this legislation, and hence it has returned previously to 75. And now it's going to be retaken to 76. That is why provinces are here. So there was maybe some form of drafting. But we'll get it from the horse's mouth. Kerry.
Thank you, Chairperson. The IP Laws Amendment Bill was initially advised by the state law advisor to be tagged as a Section 75 bill. That was then agreed to by the joint tagging mechanism, which consists of the Speaker and the Chairperson of the NCLB. That was then referred to the PC on Trade and Industry, and it proceeded the normal route. There were certain opinions voiced in the committee meeting, in the proceedings of those of that committee, that there might be some reservations around whether it needed to be sent to the House of Traditional Leaders, also whether it was a money bill, or whether it, also whether it should be a Section 76 bill, because it deals with cultural matters, which is listed in Schedule 4. Various legal opinions were then sought, and our office then advised again that this is not a Section 76 bill, it's a Section 75 bill, and also the House of Traditional Leaders were already consulted, and therefore it did not need to be referred. The process then followed in the PC, and then was referred as a Section 75 bill to the NCLP, as the procedure was followed in again here in the NCLP. It was then agreed to and then sent to the President. On the 19th of September 2013, the referral from the President in terms of Section 79 of the Constitution happened, on the main grounds that the President felt that...
Terry, just to repeat the date again.
Okay, the 19th of September 2012. So 19th of September 2012, it was referred back by the President, and he had reservations on two grounds, that the bill should have been classified as a Section 76 bill, based on the fact that it deals with cultural matters, and also that it should have been referred to the House of Traditional Leaders. He had sought a legal opinion on this, and the legal opinion said that it did deal with cultural matters also, and that it should have been referred to the House of Traditional Leaders. However, Parliament then also, or the Speaker then also sought a legal opinion on this matter in order to deal with it from a joint tagging mechanism perspective, and that legal opinion also confirmed the President's legal opinion then said that it should have been dealt with in terms of cultural matters, Section 76 of the Constitution, and as well as should have gone to the House of Traditional Leaders. On the 21st of February this year, it was then reclassified by the JTM as a Section 76 bill, and that happened through a letter from the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry, referring the letter, and that letter was referred to the Speaker, saying that requesting the reclassification of the bill. And that's important for this committee because I'll explain later as the process as I advise the committee. Then what happened was the legal opinion that was sought from counsel on behalf of from the Speaker then said that the PC had, for all intents and purposes, met the requirements in referring the bill to the House of Traditional Leaders. But the bill was referred again to the House of Traditional Leaders, and the comments were exactly the same. So there were two in the first part, in the initial process, and the second input received from the House of Traditional Leaders were exactly the same. Then on the 15th of March, a decision was taken during the second reading of the bill in the National Assembly that the initial tagging was rescinded and the new tagging within taking place. So essentially the formal referral of the bill to the PC as a Section 76 bill then happened on the 15th of March. So the committee essentially, the PC had essentially then done the processes in terms of Section 76 and the referral while the formal processes in the NA were then taking place, so the committee could then deal with both aspects at the same time. Then on the 10th of April 2013, comments were received, as I already mentioned, comments were received from the House of Judicial Leaders, which were exactly the same as the previous comments had received, and therefore there were no formal amendments proposed to the bill. On the 21st of April 2013, the formal reclassification of the IP Laws Amendment Bill in the ATC appeared as the Section 76 Bill. The 4th of June 2013, the bill was passed by the NA and referred to the NCRP for concurrence and consideration of the President's reservations. So what's important for this committee and for the NCRP then is, firstly, that we then request from the NCRP table staff what, in terms of process, what is more procedurally correct in terms of dealing with the President's reservations. Should the chairperson write to the chairperson of the committee, write to the chairperson of the, and this is what I mentioned earlier, should the chairperson of the committee write to the chairperson of the NCRP requesting the reclassification or confirming the reservations of the President and that the committee will now deal with the bill in terms of Section 76 of the Constitution? And then secondly, the committee can then proceed at the same time, which is exactly what the PC did. The committee can proceed with the processes in terms of Section 76, so the bill can go to the different provinces for consideration. The department can still brief the committee on aspects of the bill, and while this letter is then referred to the chairperson confirming the reservations.
So you're done.
Yes, Chairperson.
DTI.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I won't go into what the legal advisor has gone into. I think it's gone into enough detail. We'll just emphasize the importance of the protection of traditional knowledge using this, the IT system. This stems from a policy which was crafted in 2004, which is the IKS policy, Indigenous Knowledge Systems Policy, which gave departments mandate on protecting traditional knowledge. So the 2004 policy said Department of Trade and Industry protect using the intellectual property system, and the Department of Environmental Affairs would use the National Biodiversity Act. And so the legend goes, all the departments have got to do something, because their view was that there's no single way of protecting traditional knowledge holistically. You either have to venture into different ways of protecting. So in 2006, the department came up with a policy on the protection of Indigenous knowledge using the current IT system as we have it now. So the current IT system will protect traditional knowledge, but we're saying this in the policy, we concede that this is not the only way, as was said in 2004. We can protect as much as we can, but other departments will do their part in protecting traditional knowledge, because there's an issue of preservation. Here we're talking about commercialization of Indigenous knowledge. Because this knowledge has been misappropriated before using the IP system. So our view is that why not use the same system to protect the knowledge and get to benefit out of it, so that we also get to respect the knowledge holders and acknowledge them as the holders of the knowledge. If that is not done, then this knowledge will go out there, will benefit people who are not supposed to benefit. So the protection we are saying is is quite correct in this regard, and we'll use the current forms of IP, all the domains of intellectual property, being your trademarks, designs, and copyright. Because in 2006, the Patent Laws Amendment Bill came about, and it's actually protecting traditional knowledge, and we're using the current IP system. So this is done in conjunction with the Department of Environmental Affairs using the National Biodiversity Act, where we would seek to people to get prior informed consent, and they should work together with the community, and there should be a benefit sharing agreement in place. So if one applies currently for a patent which has got an element of traditional knowledge, that application will then be sent through to Environmental Affairs. So there's an expert committee in place which looks at these applications and looks at the issue of meeting all the requirements. So normally when the committee sits, would look as to whether have the requirements of benefit sharing been met, is there prior informed consent, depending on how the people are working in that particular area. But if all those requirements are met, then the patent will proceed. We've had a few applications, but this is being done around the world using the patent system to protect traditional knowledge. So in the current bill, we're hoping to protect traditional knowledge using trademarks, copyright, and design. There's a lot which is going on out there, so people are losing their knowledge, I think, and they are not benefiting out of that. So there's also talk that traditional knowledge is in the public domain. We are of the view that it is not in the public domain. It's knowledge which is held by knowledge holders, and immediately they use it without saying, now you are giving it away. If they haven't given it away, it's still within their right to say it is private knowledge. And whatever happens, if we use the current IP system, if one gets to do a derivative work, that is, an investor wants to do something, he would access the knowledge, have prior informed consent with the knowledge holders, use that knowledge, protect it using the IP system. But we know that when you use the IP system, everything will get to expire after some period. Say for patents is 20 years, it expires, trademarks 10 years renewable. That can be forever if one gets to renew. Even designs, there are two types, functional and aesthetic. They would also expire 10 or 15 years later. So what expires, they were saying, is the derivative work, but the original knowledge reverts back to the community because it's not in the public domain. The pure TK reverts back to the community. But the derivative, you can have one, say from, I'll make one example of the Ndebele paintings. If one were to come up with a painting incorporating parts of the Ndebele painting because it's got some meaning, the way it is, whatever gets to be used is okay because it will be a small portion. Benefits will be shared between the knowledge holder and the new proprietor. But on expiry of the trademark or design, that small derivative part reverts to the community so that they can still use it as a whole. So merely saying, if the bill can proceed, it will be good for protecting the knowledge holders so that they get to benefit out of their creation. And there are other systems which have been put in place in the bill which are looking at issues of disputes. There's alternative dispute resolution which is in place. We've got the National Council which will definitely advise the minister on the knowledge if people are of the view that it belongs to a certain clan or two clans, then that can be resolved amicably at at the office using alternative dispute resolution, or the before examiners get to deal with the application, and if they feel that they are confused, then the National Council will consult it to give clarity. And mostly we've got systems in place in terms of the IT system whereby should an application go through without the examiners or officials noticing that it is not supposed to go through, got a system whereby applications are then published for a period of 3 months wherein any interested party can oppose such application, giving reasons for opposing the application. So all systems are in place in the current IT system. So whoever spills knowledge will be caught out at a later stage. And we're also having a recordal system, proposed recordal system in the copyright area, whereby if a community feels that they wouldn't want the knowledge to be commercialized by anyone else, they would now deposit that knowledge into the database, and whoever wants to commercialize that knowledge will check against that database too. But there's no consent with that particular community. So we've got all the systems in place, but we're not saying that this is the best way, the only way. There are other ways, but there's no one way which will protect traditional knowledge holistically. We can use the different ways. Preservation, DST can do that, DTI for commercialization, other departments should do that. Thank you, Chair. I think.
You know, I'll still go to both of you. You have done what I thought you'd do by giving that example about the Ndebele paintings. So some of the people would really want to know what is really traditional knowledge. So both of you, just for the last round, if there are examples that you can give, you've done well with the Ndebele painting. I'm not suggesting that you refer to some examples in KwaZulu-Natal and then in other provinces. Just take that minute, advocate. Let me start with you and then I'll go back.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think I'm a specialist in terms of what is traditional work. But in the legal opinion that was sought from outside counsel, traditional work, traditional terms and expressions, and traditional designs were seen as all forming part of custom. So it could be anything from paintings to rock art to traditional dances to songs. I mean, those all would fall within customs. Or that's what the legal opinion then was. Found that those all would fall within the ambit of customs for the purposes of the Constitution.
DTI?
Thank you, Chair. Again, I'll say the legal advisor has covered most of the issues, but I won't be giving examples of, say, the Tubis or the Crossers now, but that was merely an example. Just to say there's traditional knowledge which has got meaning. So if one gets to use it, they need to get permission. Because if you misappropriate, you use that knowledge in the wrong way, then it sends the wrong message. It can be insulting to the originators of the knowledge. Because if you get permission and you're guided as to how to use this knowledge, how to put it properly in a painting, in a certain direction, then it will make sense. And it will be allowed by the communities if they intend benefiting out of that. But at the same time, Chair, we've got that is tangible intellectual property. We've got intangible intellectual property, which is your dances, storytelling, which have never been written down. There are dances which, when they are performed for rituals or something, they end up with a result or so, or something else happens. So this is knowledge which has not been recorded in other areas. It's intangible, but it's protected, and we take a cue from the National Heritage Act, which talks to intangible intellectual property. That's why we've got a view that whatever knowledge, if the community is no longer in existence or there are disputes, that knowledge will be kept by the state until the rightful owners come through. If not, whatever process come out of that, if there's commercialization, that knowledge will, that those processes will then be used to improve the livelihood of the community, like building schools or churches or anything. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, honorable members. Let's take this opportunity to engage on our traditional knowledge and ask and seek some points of clarity. This is our time, all of us. This is our time to check all these things. Sinclair. Go ahead, Honorable Sinclair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just firstly want to ask a procedural question. I see there's a number of provinces here, but other provinces aren't here, including the province that I represent. Can we get maybe explanation for that? Because the critical question is that it seems that all the provinces were invited, but not all of them are here. And given the process that was explained, it's important that the province be involved.
You know, if I look into the room, there's one person from your province which you must ask why Northern Cape is not here. But in short, Honorable Sinclair, all provinces were informed and invited. So we cannot answer on their behalf why they are not here. But they were informed. And maybe they don't, let me not say much, but they were informed and invited. Maybe they're still coming. You know, remember, Northern Cape is a vast province.
Yeah, specifically, Jefferson, where some of these issues are coming from, like Kahudia and all those things, you know. If they wanted to be here today, they had to start driving last year already. So, but Chairperson, be it as it may, this is certainly, as we've heard this morning, a complex matter. It's not a very simplistic matter, and so on. And if I read through the memoranda and so on, it seems that there's already a very structured legal framework to deal with many of these issues. And for instance, in the memorandum, in the background there, it says the proposed legislation seeks to give effect to the government's policy to recognize and afford protection to indigenous knowledge as a national heritage and asset. It seems to me that this is the crux of the matter. But the difficulty, Chair, and there the legal people must assist, is it seems to me that in the final instance, if we now go through all these processes and sort of go through the woods and get to the point, this matter might end up in the Constitutional Court. I mean, I can only anticipate. But it might end up in the Constitutional Court debating the very basic question, and that is the right of an individual a more prominent right than the right of a community? Because many of these issues, specifically when you deal with artistic ways and so on, has got to do with an idea developed by an individual. We hear quite a bit about communities and this and that, but we also know how complex it is inside that community once you start to deal with this traditional communities and intellectual property. So I don't have a question, Chair, but that's the difficulty that I've got. It seems that we're standing over a river with two legs, and I don't know what the answer is. Thank you.
Any other comment? You know,
don't want us to put the cart before the horse, even about going to court. We're doing our work, what we're supposed to do, and we'll make it a point that it doesn't go to court. If it goes to court, it's a democratic process. It's not an issue, even if it goes there. No, it's not like it's a bad thing for it to go to court. We've got advocates who will go and defend this thing. Any other comment from any other members? Van Lingen.
The World Intellectual Property Rights Community, has anybody looked at what they recommend, and has anybody prepared anything for this meeting or a follow-up meeting for the committee on how the world handles a thing like this?
Your question is relevant. I did say at the beginning, this is our first briefing. I just went to wait for you to go and pick up some energy this time. Then come back, I'll respond to you. But I did say this is our first meeting and then our first briefing. This is what normally happens. And then it is for this committee to say, now we want this and this and this, the department to come and tell us about this and this and this and this, if they so wish. So this is, it's up to us. What we are supposed to do today is to have this briefing, our first briefing, so that provinces are aware of what is coming, get a briefing from the legal section. If there's a strong feeling that there are specific issues that would want, but I'll give it to Advocate Gale. If the question can be answered now, it will save us a lot.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you correctly pointed out, this is the initial meeting, and I have not prepared. I don't know if it is within the mandate of the legal section to prepare something around the whole intellectual property issue. With regard to the question of the rights of the individual versus the rights of the community, that's a very difficult question. I mean, there will be various different legal opinions on that, and essentially it's up to a court to decide. I'm one of the scholars who believe you are on the side of caution as much as possible. You try and keep it as safe as possible. But there's some people who put more roguish and they're like, yeah, you know, we can squeeze it in here. It might. So, I mean, it's up to a court to decide, and one can't preempt whether someone's going to take it to court or not, or, I mean, so that'll be, I mean, it is a democratic right, so that's the process that will happen eventually.
DGI, anything else?
Thank you, sir. With regard to the issue of individuals and communities, I'll say, we have the view that we're talking about communities, that there would be individuals who can, there are many forms which can be used under the IP system. We also have trade secrets. So if an individual wants to keep things without revealing, they would go the trade secret route and it won't be revealed. If they want to commercialize, they would commercialize with another entity or with another community who's got the financial muscle to assist in terms of commercializing. So individuals and communities for us, even at WIPO level, we're covering everyone. Be it an individual, there are healers who've got their own secrets that they'll never divulge the information, but it will remain within the family. It gives them to their firstborn or lastborn to take over when the original originator of the knowledge passes on, but he will still allow the knowledge to move from one generation to the other. With regard to what's going on at WIPO, I think we had consulted a whole lot around the bill, and it came, we consulted before what was within with the department, and it came to Parliament and the Portfolio Committee consulted a whole lot. WIPO was also consulted, and there are discussions which are going on at WIPO currently on the protection of traditional knowledge. What's going on now, WIPO is in support of this because they are actually in dealing with intellectual property. So there's no other way of protecting anything besides intellectual property, because it's the World Intellectual Property Organization. So if there's any protection to be dealt with beyond the mandate of intellectual property, it would be like we have it under FAO, other units, the CBD, they deal with those issues. But WIPO is still grappling, the negotiations are still going on, and hopefully the last meeting will be taking place now in July, which of the IGC. That meeting will lead to the General Assemblies, which will take place in October, September this year, where a decision will be taken on whether to proceed to a diplomatic conference, because the text, it's been 10 years, WIPO dealing with this, the text has been trimmed, the agreements, only a few brackets in the treaty, proposed treaty. So we'll see how it pans out, but WIPO is looking at South Africa as to how we go about it. They are looking at the way we are proceeding now is more or less around the agreed text at WIPO. The projected areas are the ones which we will deal with. If an international instrument comes along, say in 2015, I think there's nothing binding us from not complying with what will be done at WIPO so that we can be able to commercialize internationally. But currently, because there's no movement, the decision was taken by South Africa that we do something in the interim because knowledge is being misappropriated currently. So we need to make a plan so that nothing goes for free, because the big multinationals take the knowledge, commercialize it. So if we wait for a process, which will end up with almost the same result, it won't affect us. We're losing knowledge as we speak, so let's rather protect than sit and wait for an international instrument. But we'll comply with international obligations if we get to sign the treaty. Thank you very much.
Honorable Van Lingen, I know those eyes. They say I'm not satisfied. Okay?
I'm so glad you can read my eyes so clearly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sure.
I understand what the DG is saying. I would like the document from the WIPO to say that they are in agreement with this legislation and where exactly they are and where exactly the English. In other words, I want to know how they treated the case. What did they say? Because, you know, he's been making his entire presentation this morning without a single piece of paper in front of him. So I will have to go and ask Hansard what he has said, because I will have to do that. So now I'm just asking for the documents on WIPO, please.
Now you'll get it. But I saw some pieces of papers in front of him, and he was smartly referring to them. He had some pieces. Honorable Ngudi.
Thanks, yeah. I'm just asking myself, how do you protect, or how are we going to protect that individual indigenous knowledge? See, there might be a tourist coming to, you know, from UK, wherever. He sees how we dance, you know, traditional dancing, and then he goes and do the dancing overseas using their old indigenous knowledge. How do you protect that person, that indigenous knowledge? Or it might be, you know, it's a specific, you know, the special songs that we sing, you know, the first eating of the food that we raise. And he goes and he does that somewhere else. How do you protect that individual knowledge?
DTI, Honorable Member from Gauteng.
No, thanks, Chair.
it's unfortunate that it's a first briefing, and most of us are not averse about the issues as presented by the legal team and with the TI. But I'm tempted to ask a question, because part of the issues that they presented is that they're going to even, the law seeks to also defend traditional dancers. Obviously it will go to a certain extent to music, traditional music, and so on and so on. Does this law also cover the issue of royalties? And if it does, will the law apply retrospectively? Because if we are to process it, enact it, that means anyone who felt aggrieved by then that part of the customs and tradition have been used by other people without his consent or her consent, therefore he's got the right to pay. So these are the issues that I want to check.
Let me start with DTI. What do you envisage?
Thank you, Chair. Answering the last question, the bill, as it stands, looking at issues of royalties, because from the onset says there should be buy-informed consent, benefit sharing, and also, if possible, where we're talking patents and trademarks, there should be co-ownership, depending on the input which one brings to the table when coming up with the final product. So royalties are covered here, and when we go into the area of music, because it's based on the current IP system, we definitely are talking royalties where one thinks you will be part of a collective society, or the National Council will assist in terms of collecting where we've got communities who cannot do the administrative stuff. The National Council will advise and assist. And well, in terms of the law applying prospectively, now during the consultation it came a lot about that, will it apply retrospectively? It was said no, it will not. But what will happen is that whenever one says this has been used by people without our consent, then those people must come to the fore and accept that they've used without consent, and then starting from now we'll start dealing with issues of royalty. So benefits will flow, because we'll flow from there where there's an agreement. If I've stolen a song and come up with a nice composition thing that, or a pure TK as it is, in that case it won't apply retrospectively, but we'll try to sort things from moving forward. So, and I think most of the issues which were raised, we've dealt with, but I understand that the members are not conversant with what has been happening before. But the department will be available to explain whenever invited, if we proceed to the next level of consultations, as the chair has said. So we'll be available to explain to members as well what has happened before and how we've seen this law panning out. Thank you. And with regard to the issue of protecting individual knowledge, I didn't get the member 100% there.
He was saying, I've got my own dance style, which is called the Kamede dance. And then somewhere I'm dancing and there are tourists, someone from another country outside of the country, and then likes my dance and takes that dance and does it in that country. How are we going to protect that?
Thank you, sir. Currently, as I've already answered to the member, that we're still looking at an international agreement. We don't have one in place now. WIPO is still busy with the discussions, negotiations. Normally, IP law is territorial in nature, so you are protected in the country where there's registration. And the issue of piracy, people stealing and going out there to do the dance, it's quite a difficult one. And as in the policy, the plan is to have some agreements with countries via the WTO. So in such cases, it's a difficult one because people do steal knowledge and use it somewhere. And due to the nature of IP, it's not easy to go into another just to run left. Then you have registered your IP in that particular area. Then the territorial nature comes to an end. If you are registered, for example, in Lesotho, you are able to then enforce your rights in Lesotho. If someone steals knowledge in South Africa and goes to Lesotho, but unaware that you are covered in Lesotho, you can go into Lesotho and enforce your rights. So mostly with intellectual property, as far as I know, if you're looking at protecting yourself, you look at markets where you think your products or services will fly, they will be bought or not. So that's where you'd invest and protect your intellectual property instead of just covering yourself in the country. But there's more to this in that we're also looking at the issue of international registration of marks, which is done through WIPO via the Madrid Protocol. So should we get to that stage, it will be easy because it's quite difficult now for one to register in South Africa and approach another country. You would then have to just designate the countries where you want protection in from the Office of Origin, which is CIPC. You designate all the countries where you want to have protection in, and then you'll be protected depending on their national laws. Thank you, sir.
Before you come in, advocate, the honorable member from Eastern Cape and then Free State.
Thank you, sir. My question is
of your... That's right.
Thank you, sir. My question is in relation with the records as and when a transgression occurs. Are there any institutional mechanisms in place to take care of that?
Honourable Member Free State.
Lord Chairperson, I want to assume that when the time comes for agreement in terms of the process of the bill, we will be favoured there with the people involved, either from the DTI or what, to come and explain more broadly in our provinces about this particular bill. But I was thinking that my own premise is that we should move from a view which begins to say, are we agreed that we would actually want to protect indigenous knowledge and actually ensure that those people who hold that knowledge ultimately benefit from that. It is not those people, in fact, who are pirating on that who are benefiting. Then the rest of the questions will fall into place, because I would want to ensure that in Lesotho, when they have a Sesotho blanket, and they have a Sesotho blanket, that other people cannot benefit from that at the expense of the people who came with that particular knowledge. So once we begin from that premise, the other things then about logistics and how we are going to deal with people who transgress, as it is said, it will be a package which is agreed upon between different partners internationally and regionally. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Was there another hand this side? Yeah, honourable sir, before I keep.
Chairperson, the registration of IP is a very important issue. We could not even protect our own national anthem, which became a national embarrassment. And this member from Gauteng raised a very valid point on royalties, and that is why WIPO's role is very important when it comes to royalties and monies to be paid out. But the DJ mentioned here that you only protect yourself in the country where you want to protect. Now, you know what? We live in a global world. If I cannot get, if you are protected, I will get your brains through Shiraz or through Sinclair where you are not protected and your intellectual property, and through another company. Business is weird, and this is the flaws and the plausibility of the implementation. But Chairperson, I think we must go on with the actual presentation and move on, because it's now 10 to 5 to 11 and we're running out of time.
I'm just honorable funding, you know. This is a snapshot of the presentation. So this is the first presentation. You yourself have asked about details if we are to. That's why I said we'll give the department specifics if you want them to come back and talk about this. You want the report of WIPO and all that, all those things. So it's a process. This is just a first briefing about this thing. And in any case, this issue is going to go to provinces. And as the honorable member said, for us, we always request departmental officials to go there. So we'll make that available, that they thoroughly brief you. I understand what members are raising, because this bill initially was a Section 75. So most of the things have happened in the NA. So now that they are coming this side as a Section 76, now we need to acquaint ourselves with it and so on. But Advocate, you are still to respond to some of the issues that were raised.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were a number of questions relating to the protection of indigenous knowledge and how, in terms of royalties, what would happen. And then also there was a question around the institutional mechanisms to protect that. Section 21, capital I of the bill envisages the establishment of two offices, which is the National Trust and the National Fund for Indigenous Knowledge. So what the trust would do is it would assist these communities with the protection of their rights in terms of this act and in terms of intellectual property. And then the National Fund, what will then do is there will be a board of trustees, and they will administer the fund in a prescribed manner, obviously through regulations by the minister, and then invest any monies or any royalties from the commercialization of the indigenous knowledge. So that is, these are the structures that would come into place, or that the bill envisages in terms of protection of these indigenous communities.
Are you covered on our funding?
Chairperson, I don't understand why we're not doing the DTI presentation, because we are, like, we're all sitting here with our provincial representatives. We can now look at it, thrash it out together, all get onto the same basis and understand it properly, and then we can go on. By taking it individually back to the provinces doesn't make sense, because here we can agree that we understand and we can ask the questions that can help us all.
Honourable Maine.
Thank you very much, sir. sir, there's no way that we can sit here, whether we have representations of special delegates from provinces. We can't do that. Understanding the nature of the Section 76 bill, it must still go to the provinces so that they do the necessary procedures. So, Honorable Fanling and Chair, when you speak, people are listening. So you must learn to teach. You must learn to listen to other people. So I think, Chair, the DTI has done what they're supposed to do. If there's anything that members want, which will be done in the second presentation. I don't know which other presentation is this Honorable Funding and looking for.
Thanks. You know, let me take you back to what Advocate Gary said. Honorable Funding is basically. This was a Section 75 bill. It went through the NA. done and then handed over to the NCOP. So we did this bill as a Section 17.5. Then it went to the presidency where it has been returned. It's just for classification, and two things have been identified, that there's supposed to be consultation, even about traditional leaders and so on. And now that has been done. So the presentation has been done before. I think we can only ask to retrieve even also that presentation with the Sarod.
Sorry, Chair, the presentation that was circulated was the presentation that was done previously for members' information. Yeah.
So you've got the presentation that was done. It's only that it's a return of the bill because there's been a recheck. So a presentation was done. We'll engage more when we go to provinces. What we need to do now is to ensure that the DTI goes to provinces and brief different committees in provinces in depth. That is where we would have serious engagements. And on that, even on those particular days, I'm sure would excuse some members would want to be there. Honourable Sinclair?
Just in terms of the process, I think the first port of call must be the provincial legislature. And that the DTI doesn't go into the province like a carte blanche, and we as permanent delegates don't have the opportunity. So I think we must just work on a structured process.
Honorable Adam.
Chair, I don't know what the Honorable Sinclair is on about. We know how to engage with our provinces. We all got liaison officers that will deal through the thing. I would propose that we go off the subject of the IP. The secretary of the committee will liaise with Constitutional House in terms of the provincial liaison officers, and we take it from there, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Adams. That is actually the normal procedure and process. That is why we have liaison officers for Honorable Dikhale.
Thank you, Chairperson. I know Honorable Sinclair knows all the processes. So Honorable Freddy was just reminding him. Now I am seconding what Honorable Freddy was saying.
Okay, thanks very much, Mahoshi. Most liaising officers are here. They know their work. You know, they know the processes, what happens. If we talk, if members are not here, they are here in meetings and they report. They know the process. So we'll go there, don't worry, to the legislatures and so on. So that brings us to the end of our first item. That is this issue about intellectual property laws amendment bill. We'll now go to our second item, which is adoption of the recommendations of the Gambling Act review. I know most people sitting at the back have got an interest in that presentation. And I'm sure also some members from provinces would have an interest on this issue. So, but you are free to go if you had come specifically for this. Then you are free to go. Thanks, Advocate. We'll see you next time. 24th of May. Morning, Sidwell. I didn't see you. Can come forward now. Occupy the just for the honorable members, you know, this issue also of gambling review, we have dealt with it. We had proposals from members. We had proposals in the meeting on the 24th of April, and members were given time to go and have a look at this thing and send in other proposals if they want to, you know, put in some proposals. All what we need today is to approve and adopt what is here if there is no further addition. If there is further addition, we'd like to have it and see if we can put it in. It's up to you, members. We've had a report now for a long time.
They have seen, and they were part of the previous meeting or meetings, and perhaps we should ask them if there is anything that we've left out.
Now, Honourable Fan Lingyang, it doesn't go according to that process. You know, even in the last meeting, they were folding their arms and saying, all we are waiting for is for you to decide. We've done our work. Then we said, no, we'll have our next meeting. Members will put in other ideas. Then we'll decide. We can't even today. In actual fact, they're not here. It's only Saroj who's here. So we've done that. They've briefed us. They came in. They thought we'd make an adoption. We said, no, members still have to put in something. So they left. So all what is we are supposed to do is our own meeting. We adopt this, what is written here, we add or whatever. That is what. So there is a proposal that has been put forward about the adoption of what? Honorable Dekhale.
Thank you, Chairperson. You see, my worry comes where they talk about the social responsibility. Because they are saying rehabilitation is a prerequisite. To me, it was not supposed to be like that. Because people will just gamble knowing that there will be rehabilitation is waiting for them. Why
which page is that,
Papoosh? Page 3.
Which paragraph is it?
3.3.
Yeah, 3.3.
The first sentence.
But here, Mahoshi, this is what we say as a committee. If you want us to change it, then we say we change. But this is what we say. These are recommendations that come from the president. But we say before anything else happens, there must be this social responsibility. It must be a prerequisite. That is what we're saying.
Okay, Chairperson, but hear me out. People will just go and gamble, knowing that there is money for rehabilitation waiting for them. And our orphans are suffering out there. They need that money. So to me, well, I don't have anything to say because it's the argument of the committee, but I remember myself, I was against this thing. But then if we are saying, let them go and gamble, there is money for rehabilitation, well,
are you suggesting, Mahoshi, that there should be no money for rehabilitation? Honorable Ngune?
Chairperson, I think for the very mere fact that we said that we offense and the like, that's why we said that there must be rehabilitation. That anybody wants to open a gambling casino there or whatever, some sort of gambling, the prerequisite is that we must make sure that there's social responsibility. Because unless we do that, then the people will gamble left and right without, you know, taking care of their kids, taking care of themselves. That the prerequisite that you said, it must be there. We cannot say, you know, we've got the mining, we've got mines in Limpopo, and we're saying that there must be social responsibility from the mines. Now, this is not different from what you are saying to the mines, because they must take care of the labor. So we're saying this to these people who are opening casinos, say that they must also take responsibility for the side effects that gambling will be implemented, or that gambling will come with them. Now, we were saying that just give them a way, open-ended, and then it will be very destroying those communities without for them any recourse. I think we can persuade Mahoshi at some other platform.
Chairperson, I want to focus on the report that, in terms of my understanding, is our key discussion today and the one that we must adopt or amend. Now, in terms of that, if I look at page 1 and the mandate, the one issue that's of concern to me is the issue that although we pronounce ourselves on the issue about horse racing and animals and so on, in the mandate, I don't pick it up that it's reflecting there in terms of the review. No, Honorable Van Langen. I'm referring to the mandate, what the commission was supposed to do. On page 1, it's not reflected there.
Which page 1?
So page 1 of page 1, sir.
Of what? Page 1 of what?
Page 1 of the report. We say the GRC was established by the ETI in December 2009 with a 12-month mandate to do the following. Now, it says to conduct a holistic review of the gambling industry since the Vian Commission that investigates in this, okay? Socioeconomic consequences, to examine the proliferation of both license and unlicensed, to consider the extent linked to the above. But what I miss there is that I'm not so sure that the way that it's reflected later, specifically the issue about 3.4 that we later deal with, that it's reflected there. Maybe one can stretch the first dot there to say to conduct a holistic review of the gambling industry. Maybe that was part of the intention. So that is the first issue that I want to raise, Chair. And then on page 2, you indicated that the last engagement between the committee and the GRC was on somewhere in April. There it says 20th of March. So maybe that, maybe we must address that, Chair. And then, Chair, coming to the committee's input to the GRC report, I think in terms of 3.1, there's general consensus that we need a more consolidated approach. And the way it's encapsulated there seems that it addresses the issue that we raised to have a more sort of national norms and standards in terms of how you address that. Then on 3.2, Chair, the online gambling regulation was a very... through, Chair. The online gambling regulation, as you would recall from our discussions, was a very difficult situation. I mean, many issues were raised in terms of how are you going to manage that and so on. Now, if I look at the report there, it says the difficulty of regulating internet gambling, given its cross-border nature, is appreciated. And then it says the GRC report and the DTI need to develop proposals for mitigating such illegality. I don't think it's the GCRC report that must do that. The DTI need to develop proposals. The DTI and other agencies need to develop them. So in terms of that, there's a number of issues in the report that one needs to reflect on, and I suppose the purpose of the meeting today is to do exactly that. I know that you want to conclude this, and that's why I say we must go through this process. Then, specifically on that, Chair, 3.2, the last sentence, to enforce the above, South Africa should be willing to engage in mutual administrative enforcement mechanisms with other countries in order to put into effect this requirement. I mean, we know we deal with bilateral and multilateral agreements quite often. The only way that you can contextualize this is to refer to the bilateral nature of our arrangements with other countries. So what I suggest is that we specifically refer to those agreements. And then, Chair, 3.3, that is the issue that some of the colleagues raised, the issue about the social responsibility and rehabilitation. That is, I think, in essence, the core of some of the challenges that we're facing in the industry today. And in terms of that, Chair, I honestly believe that we need to have a more comprehensive, if you like, a more comprehensive input regarding what we as committee feel need to be done. We know the situation out there in terms of our social fabric and what's happening and so on. So maybe we can also address that, Chair, in a more comprehensive fashion. And then 3.4, Chair, the committee's of the view that the current piecemeal approach, now, for many reasons, I don't like the word piecemeal. I don't know what's a better word or something different, but we need to give substance to an issue that is really of concern to the industry. There has to be minimal standards set at national level dealing with animal welfare, treatment of animals, and all related matters. Therefore, greyhound racing, horse racing, dog and cock fighting, illegal. I don't know what is illegal. Is it just the cock fighting, or is it require common regulation across all animals? I'm not so sure that's the right wording. Across all animals, there must be something better than that. So also there, Chair, we need to streamline that. I don't think 3.5 seems, I don't know why there's a problem with the numbering. We jump to 3.5 and then it's 3.4 again. Limit the online gambling trade to those with the co.cz domain. I think that was some of the proposals that came from the industry, and that to some degree is encapsulated. And then the current 3.5, which is actually supposed to be 3.7, there was general consensus. There's general consensus that that must happen. So I think I'm happy with that, Chair. But then, coming to the last point, the conclusion. Also there, I honestly believe that we can put more flesh to the bones there in terms of our conclusion. So I just went through the report trying to get to a point where we can say, right, this is our product, and I know that you've got a mandate there to get this thing through very quickly, so you know, as a brother to yourself, Chair, I will support you in that, but I think we must just give a greater context to what we actually want to say. Thank you, Chair.
Now, thanks very much, but I can give you comfort that, you know, I don't have that pressure, but I wanted that to be procedural. At least, I don't know what hat you're wearing, but there was one person in the room who was a commissioner, was a member of the commission. The process has been like this.
when the department came to brief us, remember it was the department, but then they brought along the commission. So they briefed us and then they said the commission has done this, has made this recommendation. We still have to, you know, apply our mind. But they were going to brief us on the on what the commission had done and where they had gone and so on. Then after that, we engaged also with the commission when we were supposed to adopt this. Commission was there, we engaged with them. Then we said, no, the committee will have its own recommendation. And Honorable Sinclair is correct then in saying, these are the recommendations of the committee. And accept what you have added, Honorable Sinclair, because it has got to be a committee recommendation. Now it's up to us to say we add these things and so on. But it doesn't mean that we want to rush and finish this. If you don't want to finish it, there's still next week. We can call you on a Monday next week and come and finish this. But we want the processes to be out. You see the legislation that is coming to us. We've just dealt with intellectual property. We have seen what the tourism bill has done to us. It has done something bad to our program. The intellectual property is going to do the same, and other bills are coming. And it's not that we just rush. We have dealt with these things thoroughly. Honorable members, it's for us to, Honorable Sinclair has made some comments. It's for us to see how to, Honorable Van Lingen, Honorable Mguni, Honorable Beth.
Chairperson, I think we did discuss illegal gambling quite profusely in the committee, but I don't see anything really here that contributes to our views on illegal gambling. Then, the 10 different acts regulating the sector, I can remember saying that we were not quite in favor of that. In fact, it was the DG that said he thought that we should start off with a policy and then do one big act. And when I said it's going to take too long and it's not going to happen in the near future, nobody objected to it. So now we're being dictated with or dictated by a DG and we can't do our own thing. So if this is the case of the opinion of the committee, then I would rather ask that we keep till next Monday and then make our submissions in writing.
Okay, just next Monday is a new day.
Yeah, we're all young people and we'll be working, don't worry. You know, I don't want to say, we are forcing me to say things I didn't want to say. This is the very same thing that we said in the last meeting, but members do not do their work. We said, go ahead, we have this report. We didn't ask ourselves. You know, the meeting of the 30th, we're supposed to adopt on the 24th of April this report. But there was a feeling, and a strong feeling, that we still, as Honorable Van Lingen was saying, we still have to go through this thing and consult and then bring in our suggestions. No suggestions, irrespective of the fact that these things were been given to members. This was, it was to add, so that when you come here in the meeting, you know what you're doing, Ronald van Lingen, is not correct. Now you're pressing the mic and...
Sorry, I wanted to get my computer started.
So, I don't know how we want to do things. We give members tasks to say, on that particular meeting, you said we can't adopt this thing, we've got to, we must have some time. Now you've got some time. And you didn't do your job. And you want more time, but before Honorable Mguni, I want, I don't know whether a former commissioner or commission to say something, even on issues that has been raised about the GRC. Let's get Honorable Adams first.
Sorry, Chair, sorry about that. But Chair, this is our committee report.
I mean, we can't blame a DG or the department or the GRC. This is our committee report, and we should own up to our report, which we have put on the table. So if we have done this report as a committee chair, then I think it's either we speak to ourselves then as a committee to say that, look, the report is wrong, what we have put as all committee members, because this emanates from a meeting which we had as committee members, from the report, and we must say the report is wrong, as we as committee members have, and go and rectify the report, or just take out that needs to be rectified and adopt the report. Because it's our report. We can't blame any people, any other people, for our report that we have done. So I would propose that, for the interest of time and moving forward.
Okay, Honorable Mahoshi, Honorable Funding, Honorable Mgoni.
On that note, Chairperson, let me first say I agree with Honorable Freddy. Indeed, this is our report. So on that note, I want to move for the adoption of the report. Thank you.
You want to second? My Honorable Mayine moved that. Honorable Funding?
Okay, now, with respect, I think there's a number of contextual issues that we need to address. So I don't have a problem of us accepting a report, but let's just address the issues that is not reflected there, and the issues that I honestly believe must be there. So, you know, I will even go to Limpopo to speak to the Khosi to... Don't just...
No, I don't want to go for
Limpopo. No, I will visit you to leave it for now.
Chairperson, I have in front of me an email that I wrote to you on the 3rd of June, in which I asked you for a report. And you wrote back and said, what report? So by the 3rd of June, actually, you replied to me. So by then, you cannot say by the 24th of April we should have adopted this report because it wasn't in front of us. You can't say in May it was in front of us and we should have adopted the report. We got it last week. We got it in June. So we mustn't, not speak the truth so voluptuously in front of everybody when it is not the real truth. And then pressurize the committee into doing things. Let's be sensible. Let's just change the wording of this report so that it becomes more acceptable. I think Sinclair has made very valuable contributions. So I second his proposal.
You know what, Anulfa? Just read the email that you wrote. Just read it, because you shouldn't just pick what you wrote, because you didn't respond to my, because I didn't understand. My response was even saying, this report, the Gambling Review, is going to be tabled in this committee. Is that the email that I sent you? That's why I say, which reports are you talking about? Because I commented about the Gambling Review Commission report. That is why I say, you know, we need to specify. Honorable Miner?
No, thank you, sir. I've initially proposed that we adopt, but since that we want to be very accommodative. Since that it's like members have got serious contentious issues that they want to. You see the problem, Chairperson, that. You can't have a meeting in another meeting. I want to suggest that I withdraw my proposal and allow members enough opportunity that maybe next week, in our next week meeting on Wednesday, we'll then deal with the report. So that people can, members can be able to go through But next time when reports are sent, we must make input. We can't allow a situation where we must go back and do that. Thanks.
Then Honorable Nguni, then Honorable Dekhale, and Honorable Ada.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'd like to second the second proposal of Honorable Maini. Thank you.
Honorable Nguni.
I was going to make an input on the contents, Chairperson. I think the CNC we are going to review the report next Wednesday. I rather reserve my comments.
Honorable Dekhale.
Okay, I was going to suggest that we vote now that our members want us to.
I want a token.
Yes, no. Well, I withdraw, but I wanted us to move forward because this is our report indeed. Thanks.
The rules of the NCOP and the rules of committees and parliament is very clear. And I think we can't be up and down on reports. If members have received this report, we have ample time to go through the report and make changes. We can't come on the day of the meeting to try and derail the process. I think we should be very clear on that. And it's not happening the first time in the committee chair. It's happening most of the times. Now, excuse me, I think that we need to speak as a committee, we need to take the steps. I would even want to go as far and say, but Chair, let's have a 10-minute caucus and come back and pave the way forward. But we can't be controlled by individuals that just wants to come and do their own thing, where the report has been sent out and there was time. I think there was time given for inputs to be sent back to the committee secretary. So if members did not do that, Chair, they must not come here to the committee and think that they can just bamboozle and overrule and do as we want to please in the committee, Chair. I'm sorry about that.
Just say your last words coming up this way from Honorable Sinclair.
No, Chair, I don't think we've got a different approach. All that we're asking for is to have a better report. That's what we're asking. And some of us, like myself, spent till 2 o'clock this morning studying this and making inputs and so on. So I just want to ask if the Honorable Mayini was with me at 2 o'clock this morning. No, so Chair, all that we say is let's have a last bite at the cherry and agree that the product that we will deliver will be one that adds value. And I don't think it's going to be a major thing if we accept it next week. I think there's general consensus that we will accept. So that's my proposal, and I also support, I third the proposal by Honorable Mayini. And it's not very often that I do that, Chair.
Chairperson, I think I would settle for that. Thank you very much. But I do want to ask Honorable Adams, since he is so adamant about the rules, when is he going to call for the minutes to be presented at every meeting of the previous meeting?
Out of order, Chair. This member is totally out of order, and she must withdraw because this is not the Committee of Economic Development.
Honorable
Van Lingen. No, I don't know what's happening with you these days. I must ask Honorable Nyambi. No, I don't see Honorable Nyambi. But this is not economic development. Honorable Beth.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I want to know why Honorable Nyambi, but we can talk outside about this. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, we very seldom have our WIP being so proactive, and we've proposed, and we've second and third and fourth. And Honorable Adams, it's out of order when there's a proposal and it's been accepted, and especially been placed on the table by our Honorable Whip. So let us just agree and then we close. Thank you.
You know what the duty of the chairperson is? To collect everything and make everything to be acceptable to everybody. So the proposal here is, please listen carefully. listen very carefully. This report today is adopted subject to getting proposals from members until next week Wednesday, that if we don't get anything from members, this report stands adopted, so that then next week when we meet, there are other recommendations and so on, because we don't want to meet here next week and still there are no other recommendations on the report. So that is how then I'm sorry I did this to you, Commissioner. We have done that. Please, just your comment.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to reiterate that I'm no longer a commissioner. The commission was only appointed for 1 year and completed its mandate. So I'm here purely in my own individual capacity as a consultant at Polarity Consulting. I'm not sure if there's anything that I could assist the committee with or anything that I could highlight. However, I think one question was raised by the Honourable Sinclair about the mandate of the committee. The mandate of the commission is clearly spelled out in the introduction of the commission's report, and it did cover all aspects of the gambling industry. If the committee requires pointing out portions of the report, I can happily assist with that. But that's the extent that I can assist with. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Now we're done. We'll meet next week. Thanks very much. It's good to have such meetings. You know, this is a democracy. We must practice. This meeting stays adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.